It's time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt in studio with us as we get set to talk about a book that, well, we've discussed a couple of times, but today we are happy to be joined by the author of Chasing Excellence, The Remarkable Life and Inspiring Vigilosophy of Coach Joe I. Vigil. Pat Melgaris joins us. Pat, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Rich. Good to see you. Good to hear from you, I should say.
Well, we were just talking about the fact that you know the book's going to be good when you get the great Billy Mills to do the foreword.
Oh, Billy, he's such a good guy. You know, he's got such a warm heart, and he was so willing to do this because he and Coach Vigil over the years have been really good friends and have a long history together, actually.
Well, yeah, and that long history I found so remarkable. I'm so glad that Miles Schrag put you and I in this book together, you and me in this book together, because Billy Mills winning that race is the reason that I think I ended up being a track coach later on, though I never was a distance runner. We're talking about the coach who is probably the most famous distance coach in America, and I've known about him for a long time. Most of the world doesn't. I mean, most Americans don't. Can you explain why he's that successful and yet so remarkably unknown?
Yeah, well, you know, the track and field purist in America absolutely knows Coach Joe I. Vigil. Coach Vigil was described by Lance Harder at the University of Arkansas as a coach's coach. He's so willing to help and provide information, give that guidance to coaches, to athletes, whether you're on his team or not on his team. And so he's often the guy that at the national championships, at the Olympic Games, that coaches from America, all across the United States, but also from across the world, seek him out. And so certainly within that realm, he's about as well known as it gets in terms of track and field and cross-country running.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is he's been on the Olympic front from 68 to 2016, it was involved in the Rio Olympics, coaching different people. In a little bit, we'll go into the remarkable numbers of his career. He is Dr. Joe, not with a degree in phys ed, but you know, he's got a PhD. He came from very humble background. He worked hard all of his life with enormous energy. Can you give us, the listeners, a little bit of the background on that?
Absolutely. Coach Vigil was born in a small town called Antonito, Colorado. It's in southern Colorado, probably 300 people or so, very poor area of the state. He was born during the Great Depression, so he's a Depression era baby. Grew up in that kind of poverty. Was fortunate, I think, a few months after he was born, his mother moved him to Alamosa, Colorado, which he claims is his hometown, actually. And there was a little more opportunity there. It was about the time that Adams State College was formed as a college in that town. So there was some growth despite the Great Depression. His mother was a very loving woman, a very Christian woman, and raised him with those values. And so as he grew, he really formed a commitment to service, a commitment to others. And so he was a Boy Scout who would help ladies cross the street with their packages in tow during the holidays. You know, that was one of his service projects. He volunteered as a leader of his scout troop. So that kind of attitude grew on him as he, you know, went on into high school, into college. After college, he, you know, joined the Navy. So he served his country, came back to Alamosa, served his high school as a teacher, then later served Adams State as a teacher. So, you know, through all of his life, he was really committed to service.
Well, and yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think that was just something that's very indicative and really formed the basis of who Coach Vigil became, not just as a coach, but certainly as a man.
Well, and let's look at some of the things he did. He coached high school for 12 years. He won a state title, was a 3-time runner up. But these next numbers are staggering. I mean, they're totally staggering. 29 years at Adams State College, 19 national titles in cross country and track and field, both in the NAIA and in Division II, NCAA. But he coached 425 All Americans and 87 individual national champions and was 14 times National Coach of the Year. I don't know in any sport any coach who's been National Coach of the Year 14 times. I mean, I don't think John Wooden or Gino Auriemma. I'm thinking of people that have had massively successful careers. That's an astonishing number. We're not going to see anybody do that again.
No, it really is. And I think it goes back to your initial question. The reason why maybe he's not a household name in America is because it was done in the NAIA division and in NCAA division two. And somehow we've gotten this mentality that maybe that is less significant. But if you have been around Coach Vigil and understand the kind of commitment and the kind of the way that he has brought along really just average runners, you really see the magnificence of him as a coach. And again, you know, I think we'll touch on this a little bit more, but as a man, and I think that that's what he does. He brings average people up to very remarkable heights. I think the one thing that also speaks to that is the fact that after he was done coaching at those levels, he went on and he's coached 22 Olympians at that time. And of course, one of those is Dina Castor. We also probably heard of a young lady by the name of Brenda Martinez and Pat Porter, others who have really succeeded on a very high level. So to say that those accomplishments were, you know, may not be as significant because they're at an NAI level or a Division II level, it's just not true.
Well, and I think one of the other astonishing things is that, as you say, at runners that other people didn't necessarily recruit, runners that had not done in the past what would lead you to believe they would later accomplish with Coach Vigil. One of the things that I think that struck me, and I did not know this, and I'm sort of surprised that I didn't know it, but in 1992, his cross-country team did something just hadn't been done. And I've never seen it even at a high school level happen. And maybe you could tell everybody about that.
Yeah, the most unbelievable thing happened 1992 in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, Adams State College. It was the first year in the NCAA Division II, and I think most Division II teams that year thought, well, they were a great NAIA school, but they're going to kind of get their lunch in the Division II level. Well, 1992 in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, Adams State not only won the national championship, but they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The only perfect score ever in the history of collegiate national cross country. They scored a perfect 15. Their pack time over 10,000 meters was a remarkable 4 seconds. The five runners finished 4 seconds apart over 10,000 meters. For those, I think your listeners probably understand 10,000 meters is 6.2 miles. It was a sloppy mess that day. It was raining. It was cold. The course was muddy. And these five runners were able to pull it together and stay together because earlier in the season they talked about, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could run a race all together? And it just so happened that they did that at the national meet, again, in Slippery Rock that year.
We're talking with Pat Mulgaris about his book, Chasing Excellence. What was it about Coach Vigil personally that enabled him not only to have this level of success, but to maintain that level of success for such a long tenure?
Incredible compassion. The man just loves people. He loves being around people. And because of that, I think people cling to him. They come to him. They run for him. They help him. They do all the things. They want to be around this man. And so he builds up this groundswell of support and love all around him. And it's just really contagious. It's fun to be around him. It is fun to hear him talk. It is fun to hear him tell the stories. And the more you hear his stories and the more you're around him, it makes you want to rise to that level of excellence also. Talked just a minute ago about, you know, he recruited average runners, and sometimes they were less than average runners. I mean, we're talking about guys that were maybe 10-minute two-milers in high school. I mean, that's okay, I guess, you know, but if you're talking about elite levels of running, 10 minutes in high school, you know, there's a lot of people that do that. And yet these are the kind of people that, and I'm thinking of Pat Porter specifically. Pat Porter went on to become an 8-time national champion post-collegiately, the greatest cross-country runner perhaps that America has ever seen. So again, just the simple answer to your question is just great compassion and great love of people that I think has been the biggest key to Coach Vigil's success over all these years.
Well, you also point out he's the guy that can beat you with his and beat you with yours. You know, the coach that can find ways to move runners along. What I think I found so remarkable in the book was the way you talked about his philosophy. And it's not a simple philosophy full of adages and wise sayings and the like. It cuts to the heart of what makes people do what they do. You have a relationship with him. What is the part of his philosophy that you personally are most drawn to?
I think that I would say that it's we all have value as human beings. I think that it was wonderful to run for Coach Vigil. I ran for him from 1985 to 1989. But perhaps I never realized, even in that four-year period, that he valued me as a human being as much as anything. He was helping me develop as a human and somebody who could perhaps contribute to larger society later in my life, more so than I might have contributed as a runner while I was wearing the green and gold of Adams State. And so, again, I think it comes back to that whole idea that he loves people and he wants people to succeed, whether you later become a lawyer, a doctor, a journalist, whatever it might be.
One of the things I found about the book that really hit home to me was the relationship you can't have with athletes anymore. You can't buy them a cup of coffee if you're their coach. You can't buy them a meal if they're hungry. You can't give them a ride to practice if they're late, because those are all, you know, it's violate the NCAA's special advantage or special treatment.
Yeah.
I think no one has handled it more remarkably based on your book than Coach Vigil. When you think about it, do you think he might still be at Adams State if some of these rules have been different?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I would have loved to think so. But you know what? I think it had kind of run its course maybe in 1993 when he left Adams State. I think that he was ready, and it was probably the right time for him to get on to something else, maybe on to Olympic coaching and to the more post-collegiate ways. Who knows? You know, Adams State has been remarkably successful even after Coach Vigil, and that's largely because one of his proteges was Damon Martin, who now coaches at Adams State. Adams State's won 56 national titles now over about a 52-year period. So it's really pretty remarkable what's continued on there. I think Coach Vigil moving on was a good thing, not only for him, but I think it also, as we found out, turned out to be a good thing for American distance running, because our success at the international level grew significantly between 1998 and 2016.
Right. I was going to, in the last minute or so we've got here, I was going to ask you if you could sort of sum up in some ways what it is that makes distance runners go. You know,
yeah.
I was a head coach, but I mostly did the sprints and hurdles, things like that. I've watched it, and he seems to have some understanding of how to motivate them in ways the rest of us maybe don't know.
I think that as humans, we want to feel loved. We want to feel like we're running or we're doing something for a purpose. And as a coach of distance runners, Coach Vigil helped you believe that you were doing something for a purpose. Maybe initially we thought we were running for a national title. But, you know, deep down, we understood that we were running for our sisters and our brothers. I think Dina Castor felt like she was running for a team, even though she was an individual in the Olympics in 2004. She was still had that deep sense that there was something bigger than her, that she could be something more than just Dina Castor, the runner. She could be Dina Castor, the teammate. And that was important to her, and that really impressed me, because I felt the same thing, even though I maybe more directly had a team with me at the time.
Well, Pat, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It was a book that it really did move me in a lot of ways. It's called Chasing Excellence, The Remarkable Life and Inspiring Philosophy of Coach Joe I. Vigil. The foreword is by Billy Mills. It's from Solstice. That's got a U in it, publishing. And it's really a good book. If you like sports at all, and it doesn't have to be track and field, you can learn a lot from this man. And I'd like to thank you for joining us.
I thank you guys also. I appreciate the time.
That's Pat Mulgaris with us here on Downtown Sports Lit 101 for this week. And have we got another guest next week, Bruce?
Next 2 weeks.
Wow.
And next 3 weeks, actually, it looks like. I think we've just booked Cecil Harris, who wrote Different Strokes, The Unfinished Business of African-American Tennis Players. We have Dick Crapo coming up at the end of the month about his new book, and we're going to talk to Ken Lezebnik about Buzzy and the Bull, and we may have the bull. It's maybe possible. He's trying to find a way to get they got someone who can be with him legally with distancing and all this stuff, because Bull's a little old, who can run Skype for him. Okay. And if that can happen, we'll get the Bull with us too, which would be very good. And think about this. Sweet Lou Johnson just recently died. Ron Paranowski, you know, people that figured in that book, Jay Johnstone. So, yeah. And then Cecil Harris on the 21st with about different strokes, about the Williams sisters and tennis and the unfinished business of African-Americans in tennis. But I'm not booking anybody for November because we don't know what that'll be. So in case...
Right.
If anything should go south in November, I'll be back on Skype in beautiful downtown
Swanville. If things go south, Carrie and I are going to be in Canada. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Just remember, I know lots of people up there. Eh?